once again struggling to understand why Jesus had to die. The reason cannot be known apart from the church inhabiting the story each gospel writer tells. Mark is brutal toward the disciples' failure. Jesus died in complete dereliction, abandoned even by God. Matthew is haunted by refused responsibility. Judas returning the 30 pieces of silver, Pilate washing his hands of the matter, the disciples running for their lives. John alone portrays Jesus as the character in control of the situation. Born for this hour, he goes forth to glorify God in his death and resurrection. In ways I had not realized until this week, Luke's passion differs significantly from all of the others. In the first place, Luke brings the changes on Jesus' innocence. Pilate finds no reason to arrest him. Herod initially plays along with his accusers, though finally Herod is said by Pilate also to find no reason to charge him. Pilate again tries to convince the crowd of his innocence, but to no avail. Only in Luke, one thief rebukes the other thief from his own cross, saying, "This man has done no wrong." And at Jesus' death, the centurion is given the final word. Certainly, this man was innocent. If I were to guess why Luke is so insistent on Jesus' innocence, I would say two things. First, he wants to take from us any reason we might offer to justify Jesus' crucifixion. For Luke, there is no earthly reason to put Jesus to death. But more, I think Luke sees in Jesus' death an end to the sacrificial system of ancient Israel, in which an innocent victim, literally an unblemished goat for a guilt offering, a scapegoat, literally and ritually bears the guilt of the people and dies. Jesus is that scapegoat, the final scapegoat, bearing the consequence of our separation from God in such a way that the separation is ended once for all. We soon will borrow Paul's words to say just how, not counting equality with God a thing to be grasped, he emptied himself, humbled himself, like Judas and Peter, he is silent about the disciples, who simply vanish from the story without a word. This writer, who would go on to record the story of the early church, surely wants to give the leaders of the church a little cover. In this gospel, the disciples are seen through the eyes of love. Well, the only character left in our search for the cause of Jesus' death is the crowd. While he was still speaking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, a crowd came. I think it is not by chance that Luke says nothing about who is in the crowd, only that they are led by Judas and the religious authorities. Are you being questioned the next day by the council? The assembly rose as a body to accuse Jesus before Pilate. They did the same when he was brought before Herod. Finally, he is returned to Pilate. Three times the crowd insists that the innocent one be crucified rather than the man who had been convicted of murder. They kept urgently demanding with loud shouts, Luke writes, that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. The desire to crucify, Sarah Miles wrote in response to Luke's passion 6 years ago, the desire to crucify is the way of the crowd. A crowd has the power to make people feel less alone in the face of death. This is why, she said, crowds are always at the heart of the violence done by religious and political leaders. The crowd is seductive and shapes our worldly identities through violence, casting out, and separation. The crowd helps frightened, isolated individuals identify with the power of Caesar, the power of the temple, the nation, the tribe. Demagogues have gathered crowds throughout history, creating the illusion that they can make us great again, make us powerful, make us winners, make us no longer vulnerable or weak or mortal. But more than pumping us up, they seduce us with the rhetoric of division and derision. They make of hope a zero-sum game. Under their thrall, the crowd is granted the power to decide who to judge, who to punish, who to scapegoat, who to allow into our body. Enter Jesus as scapegoat. When W.H. Auden was asked why he was a Christian and not a Buddhist or a Confucian, he replied, because nothing in the figure of Buddha We inhabit the story. We are living the story. For the one who comes to us still, in the despised and rejected, in those who suffer and are acquainted with infirmity, in the stricken and afflicted by God, the one who comes to us in these is him who once again fills the crowd with the overwhelming desire to scream, "Get him out of here! Out of here! Get him out!" Why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die? Robert Jensen asks after discounting every theological theory proposed in the history of the church. Most directly stated, Jensen says, the crucifixion is what it costs the Father to be in fact, and not just in somebody's theology or ideology, to be in fact the loving and merciful Father of the human persons that we in fact are. It is all very well to say that God is omnipotent love, but here we sit in slumber.